Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Word Birth Author Showcase. And this evening we will be talking to author Ian Hammer. Good evening, Ian. Okay, we seem to have a little technical difficulty.
Oh, I can hear you.
Can you hear me? Okay, I'm sorry.
Yes,
how
I can.
Are you?
I'm okay. Got a little cold last night, so but apart from that, I feel terrific.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful, excellent. So, Ian, before we start talking about your book, why don't you just introduce yourself to our audience, tell us a little bit about who you are, where you're from, and what you do.
Okay. I'm from Australia originally. A woman brought me to America, and I've lived here for over 30 years, actually, a long, long time. I was raised in a small country town in Australia. I studied physics, got a PhD in physics, cosmic rays, actually. And then later in life, I switched to oil and gas, big oil, and got involved in fracking, which is a popular subject these days. I spent many years working in fracking, actually. And I traveled all over the world in my career and retired just over a year ago and decided to write. And so now I write books and I write blogs. So.
Wow. Well, congratulations on your retirement or semi-retirement.
Yes, it's very nice. I was telling somebody today that I used to hate Mondays and love Fridays, which it is today.
Right.
But when you retire, they're all the same. So
they're all the same. Every
you don't
day
have
is a good
the highs
day,
and
right?
lows, and so that can be nice. So yeah. I should have said
wonderful.
One other thing too. I love to hike. I'm a hiker, and I dance. Love to dance, and I play pickleball, which is like miniature tennis. Of course, I love good conversation, eating out, and good stimulating conversation. So.
Okay. Well, it seems like you're living a full and active life.
Yes. Yes, I try to do that, and I'm thanks to God, I'm able to do that.
Yes, that is a blessing. Definitely a blessing.
I live in a place where hiking, it's wonderful to hike. I live in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and there are great hikes around Albuquerque. It's a good place to live for other reasons, too, but if you'd like to hike, boy, it's great. We've got an 11,000-foot mountain outside my back door.
Wow. Ooh, okay. So you've got a lot of adventure going on.
Yes. Yes, in fact, the two books that I've written are adventure stories. They've got different hikes in them, and the adventure of hiking with its joys and its difficulties.
Okay.
In fact, my first book is called Hiking Toward Heaven. So it's about. Can I talk about it just for a minute?
Sure. Sure. Absolutely.
It's about my granddaughter. Is kidnapped in the arroyo behind the house. Arroyo is a dry riverbed, and rescued by a mysterious stranger. And the stranger says, "Look, I want to learn more about being human, and you probably want to learn more about me. So let's go on a series of hikes." And so we go on six different hikes. Some are in New Mexico, some are in Arizona, and the last one is in Australia. And each one is eventful. Each one has a real adventure and sometimes a calamity. And the stranger helps us out there. And we do that, and that's how it goes. So it's really – so anyone that likes hiking will love that. And anybody that loves mysterious strangers, you know, who are on the side of God, they would enjoy that.
Right. Okay. Wow, definitely different. I've never heard – anything quite like it. Very good.
Tell us,
how did you start this writing journey?
Well, I've written lots of technical articles. I've published over 100 technical articles in my career, and I write easily. The words seem to come. And the switch to popular books and blogs was a challenge because I didn't know about emotions. I mean, I could write facts. I knew that with my eyes closed. But to do emotions, I had to do emotions and dialogue, and I knew nothing. I knew nothing about radio. So that was quite a learning curve. But I've got it down. I'm still a little, my friend, the writer, tells me I'm still a little short on emotions. I need to beef up the emotions. And I'm going to do that in my next book. But I was actually on a hike with a friend in Utah, and I said, this was several years ago, I'd really like to write a book. He said, why don't you write about hiking? You've hiked all over the place, Australia, all over the U.S. And bingo, the light went on. And that's how I came to write Hiking Toward Heaven, my first book.
Well, that's a good place to start. Start writing what you know, right? Very good. Okay. So was there a pivotal moment? I know you've been writing the whole, you know, like you said, technical stuff the whole time. But was there a pivotal moment when you knew that you wanted to start writing other stuff? You know, what happened? What turned that?
That's an interesting question. I haven't been asked before. Now, let me take a shot at it, though. I said I'd written two books. I actually have written a third book, which was it came out about 1980. And it was on the two sides of the brain, the right side, which is the large picture, the synthesis side, and the left side, which is the analytical, logical side. And that was all very new in the 70s. Uh-huh. And I thought, I can write a book about this, and I called it Unleash Your Creative Mind. And so I claimed in that book that creativity consists of, first of all, using the right side of the brain and then following that, the left side of the brain. And I never got it published because I got divorced about that time and my life was higgledy-piggledy. But a friend told me recently that creativity is all about those two facets, the right side and the left side of the brain. Nowadays, creativity, it's all about that. So I think I was ahead of the time.
You definitely were.
Definitely a pivotal. I'm sorry?
Wow. Okay.
That was a pivotal point. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Excellent. All right. So now that you're
published.
Can
I add one other thing to that, Ashley?
Sure.
That the understanding of what creativity is boosted the rest of my research life. A lot of my work in oil and gas was in research. And that's exactly the approach that you need for that. And so, and no question that it increased my output as a researcher. So I never forgot that stuff, and I'm still doing it now when I design and write a blog.
Interesting. So you still approach the writing from a technical point of view.
I've retired. But I can. That comes easily to me. I mean, I've had so much training. It's the blogs, which I write every 2 weeks. They're a challenge. They're kind of a spiritual-based blog. I have a tie into God, and that's a challenge. And the one that I'm going to write this weekend is about a meteor crater that I visited in Arizona just last weekend, actually. There's this stunning crater formed by a meteorite 5,000 years ago. I can relate that to some things in the Bible. There's asteroids and meteorites in the Bible. So I'm going to write about that. I'm going to write about manifestations of God, I guess.
Okay. Sounds fascinating. Well, tell me a little bit about your publishing experience. How has that been for you?
I'm still fairly new because my second book just came out, I think, 3-4 years ago. And my last one came out in January of this year. Publishing is easy to me. Writing is easy. My advice is sit down and start to write. Don't keep talking about it. Just start to write what you're passionate about. And don't let your left brain dominate. You know, let your right brain flow with it. And then you can analyze it afterwards and make corrections and typos and stuff. Just let it flow. And just be disciplined and write some each day. Ian Fleming was the author of James Bond series, and down in Jamaica was where he wrote the series. And he had a little triangle desk in the corner of a room, so he couldn't look out and be distracted. He would write 2,000 words every morning, and then in the afternoon he'd go out and play in the sun and the surf. And so I try and write every day. The most difficult thing about writing is marketing. Marketing is tough. I mean, you can write a good book, and there's 100 different ways to market. This is one of them right here. It just takes a big effort, unless you're lucky enough to write a bestseller just like that.
So. Right. Okay, wonderful.
My second book is Weed and Water. That's the third one. That's the one that's just come out. Can I mention that for a minute?
Yes, definitely.
It's about a teenager in Albuquerque who makes a mistake, gets herpes, and is blackballed by his teammates. He's an athlete, basketball and footballer. And the book's about choices teenagers make. They can end up in the swamp, or they can end up in the garden as a result of moral choices. So he goes down, and he hurts himself. Obviously hurts his mom. A single mom is doing her best. And then another mysterious stranger shows up who has a connection to God and confronts him about his choices and offers a way to steer him back. You know, will the boy's name is Ethan. Will he make it? Will he trust this person? I'm the guy that lives next door. I'm the mentor, okay? And so I've grown to love the boy. I take him hiking and that. So I have a vested interest in this, too. And you know, getting the boy to trust us is tough. He yo-yos, you know, from one side to the other. And I won't tell you any more. it's all about for parents who have teenagers or for teenagers, it's all about learning to trust. And it's all about a way out, because it defines fairly clearly the way to go to get back up on your feet again, and that's part of the story.
Say the title of that book again.
That's called Weed and Water. Weed and Water. The weed represents the lure of sex and drugs. I told you I have a granddaughter. She's now 16. My grandson is 13. Right. They're in the challenging years. The weed represents the lure of sex and drugs, which is there confronting every student. The water represents faith in God. These two kids have faith in God. So they're pushed and pulled like seaweed. You've seen seaweed washing back and forth in the ocean.
Wow.
And so that's what it's about, you know. It's about helping a kid like this. And on top of all that, he's a star athlete, so everybody's looking at him.
Right.
Everybody
knows him. Right. I love the symbolism there, weed and water. I love that.
Yeah. Yeah, I've talked to enough students to know that's exactly how it is.
Yes, absolutely. Wow. Okay. Wow, very deep. Now, what is the title of your last book?
This is the last book, Weed and Water. The first one was
Weed and Water is the last book.
Right. Yeah. The second one was Hiking Toward Heaven, and this third one just came out in January. Weed and Water. And it's got an intriguing cover. It's got a picture of a guy with a hoodie who's going down, and it's a beautiful cover, and it says, help for a teenager who's going down. That's the
subject. Oh, that's excellent. Definitely need help in these last days.
There's a lot of exactly. It's tough to raise kids, and
Right.
When they get under the influence, you know, they're pushed and pulled mm-hmm. in lots of directions. I mean,
yes.
not just the sex and drugs, but the rock stars, and they want to
yes.
be cool and popular. And the
yes.
parents are pushing,
mm-hmm.
And the church can be involved too. If they're brought up in the church,
they've
got to integrate all these things and make these choices. And
yes.
in this case, Ethan, the teenage boy, after he gets the herpes, he feels the shame. And that shame is very difficult for him to deal with. And then on top of that, he gets blackballed by his teammates. And
mm-hmm.
and so it's all about how do you recover from shame. And I suspect there's a whole lot of teenagers out there that wrestle with shame. And I don't feel like I'm good enough. And this book hits that right between the eyes.
Mm-hmm.
It offers
mm-hmm.
solutions.
Yes.
Offers solid solutions for this.
Yes, that's exactly what they need. Exactly what they need, solid solutions. Oh, wow, that's wonderful. So how would you say that Ethan's faith, or lack thereof, affected his decisions throughout the book?
That's a great question. The book is really written about that. It's
mm-hmm.
about his faith that comes mm-hmm. and goes. One day it's there, and the next day it's not. So
mm-hmm.
one day he's in rebellion, and he says things to his mom that are extremely hurtful, you know, very loving parent.
Mm-hmm.
And then on another day, he's up and positive and, you know, and positive about
mm-hmm.
God, and he goes to church
mm-hmm.
and gets involved.
Right.
And then
yes.
something happens at school, and he's down
apart.
In the swamp again. Right. False
yeah,
part. Exactly.
Yeah.
So finding a secure footing is tough
mm-hmm.
for someone who's gone through that.
It is.
I mean, probably every adult will remember instances where they have failed.
Mm-hmm.
There's a chapter on failure, actually, which is
mm-hmm.
which I students don't know enough about failure. Failure is a part of life. How we deal with it is the critical thing. And I write in the book that if you're not a failure because you have failed, you're a failure
mm-hmm.
if you stop trying and give up. And then you're like
That's
barnacles,
correct.
Another seaweed metaphor. You're like barnacles hanging on to a pier under the water, just hanging on, you know, and not doing anything. And so that's a very important The second part of this that comes into with his faith is that he can't forgive his girlfriend, Rachel, from whom he got the herpes.
The herpes,
and so,
yes.
The mystery stranger comes in and explains forgiveness. And it's very insightful. Forgiveness forgiveness is vertical. It's between you and
mm-hmm.
God.
And God,
that's distinct from reconciliation, which is between you and the person. And the stranger, his name is Jackson, says, hey, you may never make up to the person, Rachel. You don't have to, okay? Because you forgive her, you know, through God, the vertical connection, but you don't have to reconcile. And that's a misunderstanding that a lot of
mm-hmm.
adults, a lot of church people, they think, well, to forgive, I've got to reconcile, and then they never forgive because they can't reconcile. And those two they don't have to go together.
Don't necessarily go together, right?
That's right. They can, but they don't have to. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's good. That's a good, very good point that you put in there.
Yeah. And God's grace comes into this. I might add this too, because this is a part of it. And this is Ethan struggling for faith. Okay, these things he goes through.
Right.
These situations, and the stranger points out these things. The third one is God's grace. It's explained to Ethan that it's not performance-based. He doesn't have to perform to come into a relationship with God.
Right.
And that's a misunderstanding that a lot of people have, too. God loves us. God loves Ethan just as he is, despite his errors and mistakes. And if you truly accept that, then that gives you strength to rise up and to go on.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I think a lot of people are, particularly young people, think that they have to be perfect, you know, so if they've made mistakes, you know, that's it for them.
Yeah.
You know, they're out of the game.
I've heard church people say if you make a mistake, you miss God. I don't believe that for a minute. We all make mistakes.
No.
I mean,
that's
and we
right.
don't miss God.
Right.
We can make mistakes, but God's grace lifts us up, okay? With that, we can go on, okay? We learn from it, and sometimes there are consequences, of course, but we go on with God.
Absolutely, absolutely. So many great nuggets in this story. What would you say is the main message that you hope that your readers leave with after reading this book? There's so many great messages.
You ask very good questions, Ashia. The issues about the teenager sloshing back and forth like seaweed, you know, between
mm-hmm.
the weed and the water, the good and the bad,
right.
the swamp and the garden, is one thing.
Mm-hmm.
The bottom line, I think it comes out clearly. It certainly does in my blogs.
Mm-hmm.
my credo is to help someone to hope. That's my credo, and I say that all the time, and I'm looking for opportunities all the time.
That's good.
The stranger I talk about in this book, Weed and Water, he's down here to help people to hope, to help people become hopefuls. And I define what a hopeful is. A hopeful is a person that has genuine hope about life and about, you know, God. And so many people, when they lose hope, it's depressed. It's depression. And that can be true of teenagers. And some, you know, suicide rates, you know, amongst teenagers or anybody, really.
So the
bottom line message is that this book is about, and my blogs and my first book is really all about helping someone to hope, learning, help someone to hope. There's opportunities all around us, but sometimes we don't see them. We're too busy, you know, we're trying to get ahead ourselves, and someone can fall over in a parking lot, you know, and we miss it. You know, we don't run over and offer to help. In my blogs, every single blog has that message in it in a subtle way to help someone to hope. It's the guiding light in my life.
Very good. Yes. Excellent. Help someone to hope. I love it. Now, during your time writing this book, and how long did it take you to write it, by the way?
This book took 2 years. 18
two
months.
Years.
So,
okay.
Yeah,
and
it went quick. It went quicker because during part of that time I was retired, so I could put more time into it. I can write a book a year. As I said, the difficult thing is to, you know, get them marketed. I can get them published.
Indie
books. It's easy to get them published, and but marketing is the tough part. But I'd like to write one book every year for 10 years. Is that too big of a goal?
Oh, no, absolutely. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. You can do that, definitely. I'm looking forward to it.
That's what I'm aiming for. So.
Yes, I'm looking forward to it. Now, tell me, during your time when you were writing this book, you know, often as writers, you know, God gives us messages and you know, we're trying to send the message to our readers, but often what we're writing actually becomes therapeutic for us as well. Did you find that was true when you were writing? Did you learn anything from yourself writing?
I mean, first of all, you have to research, you know, research your subject to write a book. And so you always learn there. And it is very fulfilling. I call it, it's very challenging and very fulfilling. And sometimes when I sign off with people, I say, may your week be challenging and fulfilling, because the two go together.
Yes.
If you don't have a challenge, you're not going to have that wonderful feeling of fulfillment. And so, every day I write, there's some of that. But it's strange you ask this question, because I am writing a third book, a fourth book, actually, and it's about insights and wisdom from God. That's a subject that a lot of people, especially Christians, you know, wrestle with, you know, is this from God or not, you know, and if I give God the credit for good things, what happens if a bad thing occurs? Who do I who do I blame?
Exactly.
So I go back in my life. I look back to when I was a teenager, and to my delight, I can see the hand of God in lots of things. Can I give one example? Just one little example.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And the, you know, these little examples that pop up inspire me to write this third book, and that happens with each book, of course. I was teaching high school, and I resigned to go back to graduate school to do a PhD. But I got sick. I had a vertigo problem, and I was quite ill during a summer vacation to New Zealand. I hope you put that on your bucket list, Nashie, because New Zealand is absolutely beautiful. And so I and three other buddies are down in the South Island of New Zealand, way down south. It's a cold night, and I've got to decide. I'm still sick, and I've got to, I can function, but I'm like 70%. And I've got to decide whether to go back to teaching, give up on this graduate work, or to, you know, or to go ahead feeling ill. And so I said, God, I got you got to give me an answer here. So I'm going to go down by the lake, the lake called Tianu, and and I sat down amongst the reeds, and it was cold. So I curled up, you know, I put, I wrapped my arms around my knees, into a, in the, wrapped myself up into a ball. And and I don't know how long I sat there, but I was praying. And all of a sudden, the sky lit up with the aurora. Over here, it's called the aurora borealis. Down there, it's called the aurora australis. And I knew about it. But because you're so far south, you can see it. Well, it turns out that was my answer. The fact that this light lit up, all different colors, shimmering, moving, beautiful coloration.
Wow.
And that was my answer. And you say, well, how was that your answer? And it was because the subject that I would be doing for my PhD was about cosmic rays that come from the sun to the earth.
Okay.
And they're connected with this aurora. And when they bang into the earth's upper atmosphere, they cause this aurora. And so it was like that was it. So I stood up straight, went back to bed, and I went straight ahead with my PhD. And within 3 months, I was healed. I think it was the stress of my previous work as a high school teacher. Things like that, really inspiring. And I found dozens of these little stories when I look back in my life that I want to attribute to God. I don't want to want to say, well, no, that couldn't be God. I want to give the credit to God.
Give the credit to God, exactly. Now, this has been fascinating. I definitely have to have you back on my show so you can share more and talk more about your books and your ministry. But I don't want to lose our time. Our time is actually almost up, but I want you to tell us how we can find out more about the books, where we can purchase and where we can connect with you as an author and find out more about this wonderful ministry of yours.
Really it's very simple. Go to my blog site, my website. And my website is my full name. So it's www. And my full name is Ian Dexter Palmer. And I'll spell that. It's all one word. And then it's dot com. So www.iandexterpalmer.com. And it's IanDexterPalmer. IanDexterPalmer.com. All the information is there, my two weekly blogs. Plus, one click, you can order the book. The both books are both in there. So.
Okay, excellent. Wonderful. That seems very simple and streamlined. I love it.
Just can I add one more second, or is that are we out of time?
I don't think our time is all up, but I definitely love to hear it. Go on.
Okay. The last blog I wrote two weeks ago was about my stepdaughter who had a tumor removed from her breast, and she had a horrible year with chemo and radiation, nearly died, and so I was influential in helping her to come to a retreat, a nutritional retreat in Sedona, Arizona.
Okay.
If you haven't been there, you should go there. Wonderful place. And she took 3 weeks. She was there for 3 weeks, and she gained strength. She gained. She felt better, way better. And when she left, I picked her up, take her to the airport. She looked 10 years younger. A tremendous Wonderful. Change. And the blog is about that, and it has it has her own words in it about what this retreat meant
to her.
It's for listeners out there, if you know someone that has cancer, please investigate. Mm-hmm. Please research places like this. This one's called Sedona Wellness Retreat. But look in the blog. It's all the information is in the latest blog there.
Excellent, excellent. Well, Ian, thank you so much. Thank you for joining us this evening. I've learned a lot. I've definitely enjoyed this inspiring conversation. Looking forward to many more books of yours coming ahead. Yeah. You said one a year. Hey, yes. Maybe you got to give you more than one a year. You never know.
You never know. That's right. Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity, I say.
Thank you.
I found that quite challenging.
Okay. Great. Now you take care of yourself, and we will be in touch.
Okay. Have a good weekend.
Thank you. Good night. You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And you've been listening to Word Thirst Author Showcase this evening with Ian Palmer. So pick up a copy of, go to his website and pick up a copy of Hiking Towards Heaven or Weed and Water, particularly if you have teenagers or know of any teenagers, you might want to make a gift of it. Excellent reading, just words of wisdom and healing. And thank you so much. And you've been listening to Aisha Goldson. I'm your host. Catch you next time. Good night.